stay hard not to be emotional standing in the Ramah Shul. Anybody who learns Shulchan Aruch, open up the page of Shulchan Aruch, Shavura. So the Ramah is one of my best friends. The Ramah is every line of the Ramah, everything. How many countless Shiurim, as I said, quoting the Chalik is the Mechaber in the Ramah. I had this chus last year in NCSY Kollel. I go in the summertime, the NCSY program in Eretz Yisrael. So I had the privilege last year to go with some of the Bachram to Tzvas. So Tzvas is the Beis Yosef Shul, the Shulchan Aruch, the Sakara Shul. So part of the deal was, they only take me to come on these trips if I say Shiurim, but the Shiur has to be relevant to the particular place. So I had to say Shiur last year, it was an unbelievable chus. I was shaking, I was saying Shiur in the Shulchan Aruch Shul, and it was right at the end of the Shemitah year, so I was talking a little bit about the Beis Yosef, Perishvias, Perishakam, the whole one standing in the spot where the Beis Yosef stood. So to stand in the place where the Helig Helig Ramah, the name of Anushosim, where we drink his waters till this very day. So it's something which is very, very, very scary to say the least, but hopefully inspiring. I told you I wanted to hear a Shia. A little bit, just a particular Dvar Locha that was relevant to the Ramah, and you'll see in a moment why I chose this particular Dvar Locha. And then tonight, I think we're trying to see maybe we'll have a little bit more Shiur, and maybe a little more optional Shiur, so maybe we'll be Ma'arek a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more later tonight about some of the issues that come up a little bit more in the Shabbat. Just for the purposes of today, so I want to share with you a Pi Locha, a Shaila that took place. You correct me on the dates, but was the Ramah was the 15th, early first half of the 1500s. So you're talking about a Shaila that's almost 500 years old that took place literally in this room. The Mamish took place here. So yeah, somewhat of a famous story, but I'll try to give a little bit of the background story, a little bit of the background of Halacha as well. So the sugya begins in the end of Maseches Beitza, where the Mishnah tells us different things that we're not permitted to do, things that are also to do on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, things that are also to do mid the Rabbanon. It's according to the Torah itself, we're allowed to do these things, but mid the Rabbanon, the Chachamim told us that we're not allowed to do these as a gezeira. They may come, if you do this, you may come to do something which would be also according to the Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah lists off a whole series of different things that we're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, what's called gezeira shem yichtov. And we were afraid lest the person may come to write. That's the reason, at least according to some Rishon. Buying and selling is also, doing business on Shabbos and Yom Tov. According to Rashi, one place writes Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. Rashi, other places writes other reasons. But for most part, they're not going to be involved in different kinds of money transactions, buying and selling things as a Gezeirah, lest your person may come to write. So in that list, the Mishnah speaks about the Isur, the fact that the Chachamim said that one is not allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is not allowed to have Kiddushin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the reason also, Gezeirah Shem Yichtov, since Kiddushin is sometimes associated with writing Yitzubah, other shtars, other documents, so therefore it's a Gezeirah Shem Yichtov, you're not permitted to get married on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there's a sugya in the Gemara Maseches Beitza where the Gemara discusses when does this halacha apply, when does this halacha not apply. So there is a machlokas, a Rishonim, when exactly this Isser applies. So according to most Rishonim, this Isser of not getting married on Shabbos and Yom Tov applies under all circumstances, a first marriage, second marriage, third, it doesn't matter, you have children, not children, mokam, it's approved from that. That doesn't matter, there's an Isser mit derabbanan, you're never, ever, in any circumstances, allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And there's one day in Rishon, one opinion of Rishon, Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam learns Pshat in the Gemara a little bit different than the other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam concludes that the only time you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yom Tov is only if you already have children. If you've already been married, you already have children, you already fulfilled your mitzvah pruvu, you already have a boy and a girl, so that even though the mitzvah has more children as you can, but you already yotzei the bare minimum mitzvah min haTorah, so then the Chacham said, don't get married on Shabbos, wait another day, don't know big rush. But for someone who hasn't been married yet, so then the Chachamim never prohibited, never said you're not allowed to get married. You're allowed to get married even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Obviously, you can't write the tzubi, you have to be careful not to do malacha. But in terms of the is of the Rabbanon of getting married, that would be mutter for somebody who has never been married. That was Rabbeinu Tam. So good, so machlekes have been Tam, and he has Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam lived in France a couple hundred years before. So good, so machlekes. Rabbeinu Tam was, for the most part, we didn't really follow. It was called Das Yochid. It was one minority opinion. And generally speaking, that halacha was not like Rabbeinu Tam. So this is the background a little bit for what happened on a one Friday in Krakow, in this very room, when the chutzah in the back, in the courtyard, generally where the chuppahs would take place, in the courtyard of the shul. There was a shidduch that had been finalized, and a wedding that was planned for Friday. And the reason why the wedding was planned on Friday, I understand you learned the beginning of Maseches Ksubos now. I don't know if you've gotten to those sugyas yet. A little bit later on. So the minhag used to be in Eastern Europe, they would get married on Friday. Anybody know why? Why there was such a minhag? Because they didn't have enough food, so they had one piece of chicken for a meal one night a week. So if you can use that chicken on Tuesday, that got chicken for Friday night. So they would have the Friday night chicken, the chasm, so that was everything altogether. The chicken, like we ate today, a little chicken in Krakow. I don't know if they brought it from Berlin, but the... That's right. What they would have done to have a few pieces of chicken in Krakow, they would have been a chasana. So that was the minute. So they had a chasana that was planned. This particular chasana was a little bit unique because the girl was a Yesoma. The girl's parents were no longer alive. And apparently her older brother, if I'm not mistaken, I think was an uncle, a brother, whatever it was. An uncle was marrying her off, was taking care of her. And the chasana's family had come from... I don't know, another town, whatever the details are. As anybody knows, a problem that existed 500 years ago and no doubt existed thousands of years before and continues until today. The two sides got into an argument about money, about who's giving what, for who, and where. You know, in those days, maybe they were arguing about who's giving a pillow, who's giving a blanket, so today who's giving an apartment, who's giving it. But the numbers have changed a little bit, but they're the same basic issues. Nothing has changed all that much in the last almost 6,000 years in terms of human nature. Just the details, the exteriors have changed. And they got into a little bit of an argument, and it was Friday afternoon, and it was getting late, and it was time to have the chuppah. And the kids are, as they say in Yiddish, ois shidduch. It means the side, and the chassan side was ready to walk out. And the Ramah, of course, was the rav of town, and he was obviously on top of the situation. And the Ramah felt that he has to make shalom. This was a yesoma, it was an orphan, and who knows what will happen if the shidduch doesn't happen. We should have another shidduch. See, the shidduch crisis existed then also. The same problems. And kachava, and it was getting late. And I don't remember the date on the tshuva, it's the tshuva Saramah. I don't know what time of the year it was, and maybe remember, but whatever it was, like it was getting late. It was time for Shabbos. And the Ramah was the Ramah, was the Rav in town. And the Ramah says that claps on the, you know, we clapped, and nobody clapped over here, over there, wherever we're standing, when we got up and stumbled, and stood up over here, and gave a clap. And he said, we're not davening Kabbal Shabbos, we're not starting Shabbos until this matter is resolved. So I always say when I tell over the story, so I don't know what the meeting is in Berlin, but in America, I could tell you what would have happened. We call a breakaway minyan. So everyone would have gone and made another minyan. But in Krakow they didn't do that. Ramah said that when I started, not davening. So be it. So finally, the two sides would show them. They decided, okay, is he ready after Shabbos had started? So everyone decided, okay, let's talk about Shabbos. We'll make a chasana tomorrow night. The Ramah was smarter than them. He said, if I can give you 24 hours to delay, we'll get into another fight over the next 24 hours. He said, we're going to the chuppah now. Mamish now. Having chasana now. So the Ramah describes the background of the tshuva. He says, it was, he tells him, he says, it was a shataim or something. It was hours after Tzeis HaKavim. It was dark, l'choladeus. It will get dark pretty late in this time of in this part of the world. But it was dark. It was Tzeis HaKavim. It was 10 o'clock at night. And the Ramah says, we're not doing anything until we make a chuppah right now. So yes, the Ramah says, the Mishnah says, ain't mekachin b'Shabbos, not to get married on Shabbos. And the Ramah defends himself and he says, machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim. We usually paskin like the Rabbim, like Rov and Rishonim hold, you're not allowed to get married on any circumstance on Shabbos. But this is what we call in Halacha Shasat Chak. It was a very unique situation, and it was a tremendous macha mitzvah, because Soma, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. And the Ramah said, "Kedai Rabbeinu Tam, the Smeich Labishas Achach, we can rely on Rabbeinu Tam under these circumstances." And so be it. The Ramah was Masadi himself in this very building, was Masadi Kedushin on Friday night. So be it. The first, maybe the last chasana in the history of Kali Yisrael that took place, Mamish, on Shabbos, the Sidi Kedushin by the Heilige Ramah himself. after Shabbos was over, so they're all, you know, take, it's not like today. You know, today, it happened, but after Shabbos, we had the whole world ready on YouTube, and everyone in the whole world would know about it. It took a little time for the word to spread, but the Ramah, heck, was criticized. People, other Rabbanim heard about what happened, and they said, wow, they so the Ramah writes his tshuva, remember when he starts the tshuva? But he says, any ruach, but shmacharei karash gadol. That's when he starts the tshuva, they say. He hears there's a lot of noise about what I just did, that I was Masada Kedushin in Krakow on Friday night. So he goes to explain. You see a lot of things from the story. So the postscript of the story was that there was a minhag that they made it to Kron and Krakow with the story, never to get married on Friday. But apparently that minhag lasted till the war, till for 500, almost 500 years. That it shouldn't fall, shouldn't have such an issue again. Basically, you see from the Ramah, unbelievable koyach, a poisek, the Ramah looked at the situation, so he looked at the Gemara and Beitza, and the Ramah understood what Shas and Chach means, and the Ramah understood what it means that they didn't cover the Bria, so there's so many, it's such as Avos Yisrael, that he was able to understand that how to pass the Shaila properly. The Heilig Ramah was able to have, he had the shoulders to be able to have such an innovative psak. So I say that's what the Ramah was, and that story Mamish took place literally within the walls that we were standing. So maybe later tonight we'll have a chance to talk a little bit more about Halacha, some of the ins and outs of this particular shayla. It's quiet.
Okay.
No, you don't think so?
The only reason is time-wise. That's the only reason.
They're more appreciated real for this.
Just before you... A lot of people just came in.
Picture me last year singing the Bezesiv Shul. But I was wearing a baseball cap then because it was hot in spot.
I know. field site, right? And there are thousands and thousands of people coming into town, hundreds of people in Krakow, the Hasidim making minyanim here one after the other, all daven the Sechash Kanas.
Even the Hasidim?
The Rama. Or the only start his Moshiach automatically. It's been 3 years in a row.
Normally the Hasidim will have it. This is fine.
The Rama was the ultimate Ashkenazi place.
Remade, that's why.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Maharal's is sinking. Yeah, you see the first six lines of the print. It's much more, there's much more than that. There's a sefer that somebody wrote in 1850. He went around the Prague Cemetery and he wrote down the text of all the Matovas.
So we know what the other
thing is. We know what it says there, but it's not there.
You know what it says of Yom Gaon?
Yes.
He was on Lag BaOmer.
He was Lag BaOmer.
Not only was he Nifta on Lag BaOmer, there was a Shaila about saying Tzedek HaDin. At his levaya,
right?
His machlekes haminhagim.
Right.
So apparently the way the story goes is that they said, let's look with v'shteit and Rama.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know which way he says, but the Rama says one way or the other in Yerodea, whether you should say tzidik adin. Allah, he paskin desired his own levaya.
Right.
Okay. You see how they wrote it? It's interesting. Yom Gimel Nisba b'nei Yisrael.
Yes, because if you people who wrote shulas in Sura Sa'imah, they write the Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael. If you look at the tree, look at the Nebihud, it's
real also,
in during Sura, it says the Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael. It's very interesting.
And I think it was a play on Gola. Yom Gal, the Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael, Gola, Kovid, Yisrael. Instead of writing Lag.
Right. And you know the thought about Lag Bo'imah.
They don't write Aleph and Lamed. So they...
Yeah, but here they wrote it together.
Yeah.
Maybe just space, or maybe just space. Is everybody out here? More or less. Okay, so it must have been space. You're standing here at the Ramal's base of Chorus. If you look at this photo here, you can see clearly the tree and the kvarim that were. You're looking at the back of the shul, right? And the tree. Yeah. And what happened in the war is that the matzevas were actually removed, right? And they were stacked up in the corner. We'll see more on the way out. The matzevas were removed, but they managed to put them back into place after the war because people had come to daven here, especially at the Ramaz Kever. I mean, it's not the same numbers, but just like we know in Meron, so thousands, hundreds of thousands of people go to Dubai High Kever. Here, thousands of people used to come. I know a guy in London who told me he remembers coming here as a child on Lag BaOmer to this caver. And he died in 1572. Now, Kvarim here are not only the Ramah, it's also got his father, it's also got his mother, and his mother died of a plague that was here in 1551 in the Kehillah, and she was actually taking care of people who weren't well, and somebody had to do so, and she went to happen for it, and it actually, she died in the plague, and Ramal's wife died 2 years later, died in 1553, which is why before the Ramal died, there were actually other members of his family that were buried here. Now, people have been coming here for a long time, clearly, and people, as you can see, leave kvitloch, and they like candles, and you can normally tell how visitor the caver is by how many leftover candle stops there are near the caver. As Rabbi Sobolovsky said, I mean, the Ramah is poshut, more responsible for Ashkenazi halacha than possibly anybody else in the last 1,000 years. So it says, Mimosha ad Moshe lekom kamosha, we're talking from the Rambam. Right, from the Rambam, his impact on the halacha
The Ramon is in his 40s, no one is. How old is the Ramon when he died?
So it's difficult to know.
That's 500 years. That's not thousands.
No, he died.
From Rambam to Ramon.
No, but in the last 1,000 years, from our perspective. It's difficult to know when he was born. He either was born in 1520, 1525, or 1530. Lechera, not 1530, because when his uncle was muspid him, he didn't mention that he was very young. And Lechera, he would have done. Also, it works out that the famous Truva he wrote about copyright, he'd have been 10 years old, if the dating on the Truva is right, which it possibly can't be, because it says Dalad Elul, and that's Shabbos. So it's not, but we don't know. We don't know how long, but he didn't live a very long life.
There's a fellow in Tunic, the one who printed the Chuvas Aramah, you know, the redone Chuvas
Aramah?
Yes, yeah. It was Dr. Siv. Dr. Usher Siv. He lived in Tunic, lived near us. He was just Nifter a couple of years ago. He was the one who wrote the, redid the whole Chuvas Aramah. He was the mumcha. This was like a doctor, I think, was on the Aramah.
So there is, in the introduction to that, they've got three different shittas. Okay, now we'll come back here. You'll be able to daven here, but I'm going to take you around the base of Chorus first, because you might find another personal favour to daven at. Because this is the who's who.
This is Usher Siv.
But you're not the jury. Captain. Could you give everybody a seat? I don't know.
And he was given the Rabbonus, he instituted as a day of Suda for all his descendants. If you know anybody who's called a Hela, who's a Levi, they are likely to be a descendant of the They called the last on the day in Tammuz when he was sentenced to death, and they all make a Suda on the day when he was given the Rabbonus in Prague, which I think is in Adar, in Krakow, which I think it was in Adar, but he was originally in Prague. He was a cousin of the Shlom. When he came here, that's why there were a number of these Gedolim here, there was a big machlekes, because the Shulchan Aruch was being printed. And the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Beis Yosef, died in 1572. The Ramon died in 1572. The first printing of both together was still during their lifetime. It was in 1569, while they were both alive. But there was a lot of controversy, because you're now printing a sefer that tells me halacha, and who says? What about the other shittas that aren't there, and who says, you know, there's one sefer? So, and Tosafot was opposed to the Shulchan Aruch initially, as was the Marashal. Marashal was limited earlier, just like there was a controversy over Kabbalah a little bit later, there was a controversy over whether the Shulchan Aruch should be accepted in Klal Yisrael while the Tosfos Yonder was alive. And what's interesting is that here we have the cave of the Tosfos Yonder. A little bit further along, you have a cave of somebody called the Megine Shlema. The Megine Shlema is called that, the defender of Shlema. He answers all the kashas that Tosfos asks on Rashi, right? He was originally the Rav in Tikhtin, in North Poland, and then he came here. Now, when Tosfos Yonder was the Rav, he was the Avbeis. And what's interesting is that one is the defender of Rashi, and he's called Tosfos Yonder. And if you look at the style of the Tosfos Yonder, it is the style of Tosfos. Ve'im Tomar, Ve'yesh Lemar, it's very much the style of Tosfos. And he obviously is a defender of Rashi. So you had them both here, the Av Beis Din and the Rav of the Shtot, of the town, at the same time. So at the same time, he died in 1633, so a little bit earlier, but not much earlier than the Tosfos Yonder. Okay, I'm going to just one thing to point out. They say, and I think you know, sorry, the problem is yes, we tend to do it at the time, Yossel the Miser, right, the Holy Miser, this is his game. Well, the Tosfos Yonder is buried here. Sorry. Well, yes, you can't rely on the way the Matevis have been put down as to whether they put them down the right way around as far as that is concerned. Yes, or because it was just put into place, you know, all these new columns and nothing over here, all these Matevis have been lost. Right, so, you know, it's full when they stop. So, here, the whole thing. Yeah, it was packed in here.
But this is also not known place. I mean, like the cave of the Moors, probably not. But this,
no, yeah, but people drop it.
But this just put just
more or less. I don't think they have the.
How did they not? This is not continued.
The Canadian people, you know, they were really first.
Krakow was a big city. This is the Rebbe, the Shach.
Yes.
The Shach's Rebbe. And the Taz, the Rebbe also. So
and?
I think the Taz is also. Taz learned at him in the early years.
Yes.
I think so. Or maybe it was a Chavar, maybe it was the same time. Right. The Shach's Rebbe. You know, everyone learning Yerodea. I think some people learning Yerodea. No, the Shach's Rebbe. The Rebbe of Heschel, they used to call him. Shach is a parish on the side of
Shulchan.
No. Oh, where's the Shach? Oh, the Shach is buried. He was in Vilna, the Shach. The Shach, I think, is a Boch. I think he's younger. Maybe he learned here.
In
Lublin, maybe the Marshal was in Lublin. Marshal, Amaluria was in Lublin. The Shach was in Vilna. Maybe earlier, maybe, I don't remember. The Bach was here, the Taz was a young man. The Taz was here because maybe when, I don't know. The Shach was very young.
He's asked the question, can we bury Mesib one on top of the other?
And he writes, here in Krakow, we do so when there is a mechitza they put in earth, and then they bury somebody on top. And he writes, here in Krakow, that's what we do. Because, I mean, we see a Beis HaKvaros which is quite empty. It's absolutely okay. We don't have all the other savers. If you look from here, straight across at the other side, you can see a bits of stone, right? It's called the cloud of the Wailing Wall. Not because of the coastal, but because those are the bits of Matseva that they put together, but they don't have all the Matseva. So it was absolutely packed in here. The Bach and the Bach Nussbund that you can bury one on top of the other.
So there are layers down from here?
Must
or just
be,
that, I mean, that the hill is like that?
That could be, because that's what happens in Prague. That's how Prague, yeah, could be.
Either the question was very good or it was not good at all, you know?
Bach's star Talmud was Taz, who was Kemi's son-in-law. Taz, the other parish on Shulchan Aruch. So the Bach was the Rav in Krakow. And his star Talmud, he sent to Taz a little bit when Taz was very young, and then he took him as a son-in-law. So Taz calls him all the time, Mori Bechami. Every line of the Taz is Mem Bav Ches, Mori Bechami, my father, my Rebbe and my father-in-law. This was here. This is where it was. This was still here. That's on the Bach is on the tour. The Bach were on the side of the Beis Yosef. The Ramo wrote the Dakimoshin. The Ramo was writing his Dakimoshin Krakow as the Beis Yosef still lived in Turkey. Because he didn't even live in Eretz Yisrael yet. He was writing. He only wrote the Shulchan Aruch in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the Beis Yosef in Turkey. And they were writing at the same time. Neither one knew the other one existed. And then they did the thing.
And the Rav of the city printed. So he prints it. So he brings it to him and he says, why didn't you want it printed? So he says, Galah Mukas pictured me in a dream. Galah Mukas died 7.5 years before the Bach. The reason the Bach came into this world is to print the Bach. And as soon as he had printed it, he will die. And the last volume was printed in 1640 and he didn't live another 12 months after that. That's why he wanted to print it, but that was, So, we got a book of them and the bus. Now, two are good.
By the way, I learned the exact same story. They read the same Gemara, the same Rash, the same place, the same Ram, word for word, but they were reading here in Krakow, what this world looked like 500 years ago. They read the exact same everything. Nothing has changed since the Torah. The whole world has changed. These are Acharonim, not even Rishonim, they're Gemaras. So simple. For sure, we went to.
So with this, you can pretty much date it to 17th century shul, right? You can pretty much date when it was built, because he was lived in Tokyo Gimel, which is in
1653.
When the shul was built. Now this over here, you can see the slave, which is normally the symbol of somebody being a doctor, right? This is Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, who was, he wrote the Maaseh Hashem, he wrote the Perek as well, and he had a fascinating life. He was born in Venice, and he lived in Prague. He was the one who was the miyasad of the Hebra Kadisha in Prague. And then he came here and he died in the 1580s here. He spoke at least 7 or 8 languages, and he was a very, very interesting individual. It's much longer than that, but
something this means about these.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's a much longer text which.
Yeah. All these shapes say, yeah.
Yeah.
Dominic is like, it's his own, but it's a long text.
It's a long text.
The golden era of Krakow Jewry, because then there was the Gezeres Tachvatat in 1648-49, and then there was the Swedish invasion of Poland, and it destroyed Krakow for quite a while. And you only really see a resurgence in the 1700s, as opposed to since breaking through.
We should all dance together. Okay. I think he wants to say one thing, so we'll say together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Eidom Tachlu B'chilus V'shchodesh Ad Chesbo. I'm lost, you have to say it. You have to say that one. Eidom Tachlu B'chilus V'shchodesh Ad Ches, until the 8th. You have a different hugger about it. You don't think you should say that one. He says, "Ve'enom ta'achlo b'tchilas rosh chodesh, siven ad chesbo." Behind the ach isruchai. He says, "Only until isruchai." You don't say. Ramah says,
There are others who say, the whole week. Others say because it's tashlumin, because you can bring the carbon of Shavuos, you can still bring for the whole week, yeah. 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 Yeah, a lot of places have that, but that's the minig. Well, minig. Allah says that you only don't say tachana until Yisrochak. Afterwards, you say. Yeah. A lot of shuls they don't say.
They
don't show up for everyone until you face.
Right.
The grosses to say or not to say? The grosses not to say,
but the grosses to say. No.
The grosses told to Yisrochak. Like Torah. But there is a chelik A.
Right.
So in the Siman of Shavuos, he writes, "Einom tachan ad Yisrochak da hadu chesiv."
Right.
That's it.
Thank
you. There's a sign inside, but his seat. It says that Khan Amar Haramah b'sochet tefila. They just wear the seat when they wish to sit down. What he said. In the front of the armchair. Thank you.
חסדים טובים בין הכל וזאת שחד דבוי, וריגו אלף נבנה אלף עד שמי דבוי, אלף עוזר ומשיר ומגד ברוכתו אדינוי, מגד עדרו העבר גיבול לחד, אם נכנים ניתנו את הדבר שיר, וחלתי חד וחד 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 וחד
Amen.
the conversation before we were talking about with the Rama. I felt terrible. No, I mean, the police is Chazal.
The only shaila is if there's still a minig amokim.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I figured it would be a good chinuch to see that there's a minig. Yes, that's what they were telling me. They said the chazirim daven is anyway, the Chazal, please, forgive me. I was talking to him before. I thought you were part of the whole team and I didn't realize that.
I'll tell you something. Black women don't say something. They're not black women. Probably on Twitter, for anything else, they'll never say something.
But the way I see
them, they don't say something.
Did they start yet? They now are. You're in Munson, okay.
Okay, what?
Right, what's the name?
Right
there. Right there. Did they start while you're here? It's a different thing. No? I don't have anything particular for this. I think it's time we'll figure out something, whatever it is.
They
are on the way to start. Oh, sorry, I haven't seen them yet. What are their names?
Elazar and Rafael.
What's the last name?
Elazar and Rafael. They are both from Moscow. They came with me to
are you telling me about
his brother?
Yeah. And he's starting next year. I don't know about them. Yeah, no, but they have a lot of they have a program, you know, what they call the Mechina program. So when boys come and they usually start, and every year, when I come back, I'll try to find out. Okay? Okay, so what is your name?
Naftali,
okay. I'm Naftali from Berlin, okay?
Yeah.
Mitziv, Naftali from Berlin. I had to go run to catch up. I wanted to tell something. Yes. I'm not sure. It's a real shawl.